is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is Pastor Rob Chambers of Reedtown Community Church in Newport, Tennessee. It is our earnest hope and prayer that something will be said or done through word or song that will be a blessing to your heart.
We're looking this morning in John chapter 11, two verses, verse 43 and verse 44. Beginning with the 43rd verse. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. The last six words of the 44th verse. Loose him and let him go. Hear what the Word of God has to say this morning. Loose him and let him go. Six words. Six small words. A very short phrase. The longest word in that phrase is only five letters. Very short, very simple, very straightforward and to the point. Loose him and let him go. But as small as that phrase is, we see encapsulated in those six words. We see wrapped up in those six words the very essence of who Jesus said that He was. He said, I am that I am. If you've seen the Father, you have seen me. He said, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am the chosen one. And we see here in the 44th verse of John chapter 11, the proof that He was who He said He was. The proof that He was God and God alone. Loose Him and let Him go. No better illustration anywhere in any of the Gospels or any of the Word of God, the divine power and authority that was given to this one man. It wasn't the changing of the water to wine, not when He calmed the stormy sea, not when He cast out demons or healed the blind or the sick, the palsied. All those things pale in comparison to John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. This explains, this defines who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. It's lost on us today, though. The power in this statement, the power in these two verses, it's lost on us. It's talking about, it's the same as throwing chaff up to the wind. It just blows away. We hear it and it rolls off of us. Because we've been conditioned not to hear the power. Not to feel it and not to experience the greatness of this man. The movies today. You got some boogeyman in the movie. They can get shot. They can get chopped up into pieces. They can get burned, electrocuted. You name it any number of ways. No matter how many times you kill him, he always comes back for the next movie. What's the big thing today? What's the big movie? Vampires is big. The Living Dead. Zombie movies. All great, big, wonderful, money-making enterprises in movies. Let me tell you this morning, on the authority of God's Word and the authority as a human being, when you're dead, that's it. There's no coming back. There's no sequel. Even soap operas on TV, you got a popular character and they kill it off. What happens? 6 months later, they're back. The world refuses to believe that death is the last. When you're dead, you're dead. We even give our children video games. They'll sit there and play and play and play. Oh, my man got killed. What do? They hit the reset button. There's no reset button in life. There's no do-overs. When you're dead, you're dead. That's the end. Finished. Kaput. Nothing else. No more opportunities. The devil is doing that intentionally. He's doing that because he's jealous. He's jealous. He doesn't like John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. He doesn't like it because only God can give life. Only God can give life. The devil can't do that. He doesn't have that power. So he's jealous. If he can't have the power, then he'll just rob us of the meaning of it. He'll rob us of the importance of it. He'll just make it commonplace. No big deal. It's no big thing to hear some story about a man being raised up out of it. We see it all the time. It's no big deal. It becomes just one more fictional story. Am I lying? It's the truth. This is not a normal everyday occurrence. 99.9% of the time, death is final. We have a few instances in God's Word when God's will was made manifest and some were raised back from the dead. But most of the time, when you're dead, you're dead. This hasn't happened in 2,000 years. This wasn't some medical resuscitation. Doctors today, when you die and your heart stops, they'll take a needle about yay long and they'll jab it in your heart and they'll pump you full of drugs to try to get it beating again. They'll take the paddles and they'll put them across your chest and they'll hit you with electricity to try to get the heart beating again. That's not what this is. Lazarus was dead 4 days. 4 days. His own sister, when Jesus said, loose him, or roll the stone away, she said, Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days, Lord. The man's body had begun to decompose. His brain had turned to mush. His organs had begun to liquefy. He was dead and rotting in the ground. John didn't include this account in his gospel to try to sell books. John didn't include this in his gospel to try to get some kind of movie deal out of it. John included it because he was prompted by the Holy Spirit of God, because it is real. And if you and I will listen to it, take it into our heart and life, and believe it, it is proof that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You can't debate this. You can't argue this. You can't question this. He brought the man back to life. Praise God. Nobody can do that. Only God can do that. Only God. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Who was Jesus talking to? Who was Jesus talking to? Well, we would think that he would be talking maybe to the disciples, the people around. You know, Lazarus came out in the bedclothes. You know, he wasn't wrapped up like an Egyptian mummy. They wrapped him tight. It was kind of loose, and he could ambulate just a little bit. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the disciples. He wasn't talking to the family. He wasn't talking to the men and to the women that were assembled around watching this take place. He was talking to the last great enemy the Bible says you and I will ever face in our life. He was talking to death, to hell, and to the grave. Jesus was commanding them to let Lazarus go and set him free. Only God has that authority. Only God has that power. Death had Lazarus shackled, had him chained, bound head to toe. The grave had him imprisoned completely and totally, swallowed up, consumed. Hell was licking its chops. Another soul. Another soul. And the devil was sitting back cackling like a maniac. I got Jesus' friend who he loved. I've got Mary and Martha's brother. Oh, I've got him. I've got him. Oh, there was a party going on. There was a party going on. Until. Woo! Until the Master came. Until the Master showed up. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. Even though Lazarus was dead 4 days, he still had to obey the command of the Master. He had to get up out of the grave. He didn't have an option. Even though what was inside him, what he was made up of, was rotting away right then at that time, it could not disobey the Word of God. Lazarus had to get up out of the grave. When Lazarus got up, boy, the grave moaned real big when that stone was rolled back. Oh, death shrieked when he heard Jesus say, come forth. Hell had to go without a soul. Hell had to go hungry. And the devil's grin turned into gnashing of teeth because he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. He wasn't talking to the bystanders. He was asserting his authority as the God incarnate in this world over life, death, hell, and the grave. The grave, hell, and death had no power to refuse him. They had no choice. No choice. Unable to resist the command of God. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Some of you here today, some of you here right now in the hearing of my word, some of you are just the same as Lazarus. You're bound. Sin has you bound head to toe. It has you completely consumed and wrapped up and held in prison. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The wages, the payment for, the earnings of sin is, not was, will be, but now and forever is death. Sin is bondage and in slavery to death. The devil tries to convince us that that's all right, you're still free. You're still free. I'm an American. I'm free. I'm free. The Bible even says I have free will. I'm free. I'm free. I get so sick and tired of hearing I'm free. I'm talking to you from my heart this morning. I get so sick and tired of hearing I'm free. Even the country you live in, the greatest and mightiest that it is, you're not free to do what you want to do. You don't live in a democracy. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You live in a constitutional republic. A true democracy won't work. Everybody can't do what they want. He tried it with Jesus. He tried with Jesus. Oh, just do what you want to. You're free. Do what you want. Jesus, fasting 40 days in the wilderness. You're hungry. Just turn them stones into bread. Your body is aching. You're in pain physically. Just turn them into bread and eat. Consume whatever you want to consume. He tells you and I that today. Whatever you want to consume, go ahead and consume it. And I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about anything you take in with your five senses. Anything you taste, hear, smell, see, touch, feel. The devil will tell you, it's all right. It's all right. It'll be all right. Just go ahead and consume it. Just go ahead and consume. He won't tell you the consequences. He won't tell you the consequences of messing around with drugs is addiction. He won't tell you the consequences of messing around with alcohol is falling into that pit. He won't tell you that looking at pornography, what that'll do to you and where that'll lead you. He won't tell you what this other sin, what that. He'll just say, go ahead, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. He tempted Jesus. He said, we'll go up to the top of the temple. You can jump off. And the Word of God says that the angels watch over you. You won't even dash your toe upon a stone. You can do what you want to do in your life. You can be as reckless as you want to be. There's nothing more reckless than jumping off the top of the temple. He tries to tell you and I today, we can be as reckless as we want to be. We can live however we want. We can do whatever we want. We can go wherever we want. There will be no consequences. He lies. He's the father of lies. He lies. He cheats. He doesn't tell you the whole truth. He took Jesus up on the top of the world and showed him. He said, you see that? I have the power to give that to you if you'll just bow and worship me. He tells you and I, you can serve anything you want to serve. You can put anything you want first in your life. You can give service to anything at all, and there's no consequence. You know who the devil sounds like? The devil sounds like MasterCard, Visa, all the banks, and all the loan agencies around the world today. Here, take the money. Don't worry about it. Just take the money. Just take the money. Don't worry about the interest rate. Don't worry about foreclosure. Don't worry. Just take the money. You want an $80,000 car? There ain't no reason in the world why you shouldn't drive an $80,000 car. Everybody else got one. You want a $100,000 house? Get you a $100,000 house. Hey, how much you need? There you go. You want a 72-inch flat-screen TV? Go right ahead, get you one. Fine and well and good. Till the end of the month, $3,000 house payment, $1,200 car payment, and $500 due on that TV. And you're sitting there, well, what am I going to do now? Loose him and let him go. That's what you're going to do now. Loose him and let him go. You can't afford $1 million house. You can't afford an $80,000 a month car. You can't afford sin in your life. It will bankrupt you. It will kill you. It will destroy you. You can't afford to listen to Satan. You can't afford to believe his lies. You can't afford not to believe the Word of God that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Come to the piano, please. He's calling you right now, individual, all over the house. He's speaking to hearts this morning, all over the house. He's calling to you right now. He's standing right now before the tomb of your life. He's standing there with all of his power and with all of his glory and with all of his might and with all of the authority that God has put in him. He is saying, come forth. Come forth out of that life. He wants to free you. He wants to set you free. He wants to break the chains of sin and death and hell that have you encompassed and held enthralled. He wants to give you everlasting life. Christians, don't get cocky on me. And don't sit there and think I ain't talking to you this morning. This is not a message just for a lost individual. At one time, you stood where Lazarus stood. You were called up out of the tomb. Jesus said, loose him, let him go. The grave clothes were taken away, and you had, for the first time in your life, freedom, true freedom, because who the Son hath made free is free indeed. But like the hog to his wallow and the dog to his vomit, preacher, that's disgusting. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I don't have time to sugarcoat it. I don't have time to say it in nice, sweet words that tickle your ears. You return back to your sin. Willfully. Disobediently. And you took those old nasty grave clothes that stank with corruption and rot, and you begin to wrap them back around you. You begin to entwine yourself back into the sin you were delivered out of. Why do you not have power? Why do you not have confidence in God? Why do you not have faith? Why do you not see your lost saved? Because you're back in bondage.
Yeah. There you go, brother. Truth's truth. We know you're telling the truth.
Why would you want to put on filth and corruption?
Yes.
After you've tasted the good of God.
Yes.
What can you find back in a world of sin? Death, imprisonment, and eternal separation. That's exactly what you'll find. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. He's saying it right now. Come forth. Come forth, come forth, come forth, come, come, come. Come. Just like Lazarus did, come. You'll hear the same thing. You'll hear, loose him and let him go. I can't remove your bedclothes. Nobody else can remove your bedclothes. Jesus himself will remove the grave clothes from your body. Jesus will take them away. Jesus will put the new robe of life upon you, the ring upon your finger, and the shoes upon your feet. And he'll put you in a place with his children. Amen. Child of God, if you've drifted back out into sin, he will restore you to your place. Yes. Amen. If that's not love and power and authority and Godship, I don't know what is. Lazarus could not refuse. Lazarus could not refuse. You, on the other hand, this morning, you can listen to the devil because he's whispering right now in your ear. He's chattering away. He's got somebody in front of you who's picking their nails, making a loud noise so you won't listen to me. He makes certain parts of your body do certain things to try to get your attention. He makes your belly to grumble, wishing that preacher would shut up so you can go eat. I'm talking about heavenly food. I'm talking about manna. I'm talking about bread. If you eat of this bread, you'll never be hungry again. You drink of this water and you'll never thirst again. It's worth 15 minutes of your time to listen to the man of God. Everybody stand to your feet, please. You've heard him call you this morning. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't wait for the song to start. Come right now and pray. Just come. Come. Pray. Answer the call that God has sent to you today.
We hope that you've enjoyed our podcast presentation. If you would like more information about the church or any additional podcast, please join us on the web at www.reedtowncommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. That's spelled REEDTOWN Community Church Podcast.blogspot.com. Thank you and God bless.